From the News Talk STL studios in St. Louis, it's The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter. On tonight's episode, AI guy Joe Galesrian talks about left-leaning search engines and the future of propaganda. Comedian Anthony Rogers talks about what it was like running for Congress against Cori Bush. Also, Kirby Newberry, the king of coffee from DiscountCoffee.com, will deliver some sick burns as long as we promise not to sue. And the Right Mind studio band Mitch Murphy and the Murphy Tones. Now, putting the fun in your dysfunctional world, here's your host, Todd Showalter.
What an evening we have. Joey, you have run in here. Run in here with breaking news. Look, he's out of breath. Wow. You know, I can't, usually, you know, I come in here with, like, you know, news to share, you know, with the audience and yourself. But my big news, you know, I've been watching, I don't know, like a colony of ants build a community in my cat's litter box.
Real teamwork. They work together.
Yes, they do. I mean, yeah, it's amazing what they can do. But you, on the other hand, you come running in here with this breaking news. I mean, it's almost like, you know, something out of a cartoon. And that's actually what it's about. Joey is just brought it to my attention that on Reddit, it's like what would you call it? It's a
forum where people submit the best stories that they can find, and then it gets voted upon by the community which ones are the most interesting and most offensive. And you have made it to the top of the most offensive list.
I had no idea. I don't know if I'm honored or how I should, but apparently there's an individual on Reddit that I knew nothing about that is posting. Well, he hates my cartoons, okay, because I'm a cartoonist, if you guys don't know. But he hates my cartoons, and he's posting a daily – what is it, Joey?
Posting a Todd Showalter comic every day, and one of them has got 1,200 comments,
right,
and 14,000 upvotes. That's how you find out if you're popular or not. People vote on it. 14,000 upvotes for something you hate confuses me, but I like that we have content for the show.
Yeah, okay. Yes, me too. Because but being upvoted, that is actually how much they hate me, though, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm really hated by this guy.
And it's color coded. Orange is the positive color, okay. And you have a lot of orange. Blue would be the sad one. People are angry, mad about how much they hate you, but they can't stop talking about you.
It's amazing. And like I said, I've just been watching these ants. And meanwhile, there's a guy on Reddit that just despises me. And I feel like we should reach out and talk to him. Maybe he'll be a guest on the show. You know, I mean,
what if he has a learning disability? That's why he's so mad.
Well, most of my readers or viewers, whatever you want to call the cartoon community, I mean, they do have some disabilities. Mm-hmm. I mean, that it's in the manual. You're only admitted into the club unless you have some kind of disability. But I didn't know this guy was going to go out and, you know, make it his life quest to show how much he hated me. And I feel touched. I feel kind of honored.
At least they're talking about you. That's the most important. No such thing as bad publicity.
No. Well, yeah, I guess. But I didn't even know about this stuff. Reddit. I mean, I didn't. I thought that was like something for like recipes or something like that. Yeah. And then, all right, so that's one thing. Okay, so now I'm befuddled. I'm using that word today. I like it. Befuddled.
Fluff amongst it is one you use that I still don't know how to spell.
Well, that's all right. I kind of made it up. But then you also mentioned that there was a he said, Todd, I got breaking news about Chicago, because I always said, you know, if I were ever going to, you know, have a peaceful picnic, it would be in one of two places, St. Louis or Chicago. If, you know, there were too many bullets in St. Louis that particular day, but, you know, then I would go to Chicago. But you just mentioned that there was a shooting in Chicago.
And then you yawned. You're like, tell me something I don't know.
Well, exactly, because, I mean, that's just like daily news here in St. Louis. I mean, you know, bullets and, you know, the arch and everything else. But you said, what was it, at a White Sox game?
This was a special shooting.
Very,
very important shooting that we can laugh at, I guess. Yeah. Last Friday at the Chicago White Sox game, so not even the Cubs.
Are they still even a team?
Barely. I think they had that scandal where they rigged the World Series, and since then, no one's really paid attention to them.
I didn't even know they existed. I thought they were gone. I thought that was like when the American Basketball Association merged with the NBA or something like that. And I thought the White Sox and the Expos, and they all left. But you're saying the White Sox are still a team?
They're still playing. There's a couple dozen people out in the stands, and a couple of them got shot. I mean, that's their fault for even being there in the first place, but the controversy was that there was a shooting inside the stadium.
Okay.
And that they let the game continue.
Of course.
This was in the fourth inning. They were like, it's Chicago. Who cares?
Of course, they didn't know that they don't really have a team. And so they're probably making a big deal that they're actually playing because nobody knew they existed.
Mm-hmm. What are we going to do? Just send everyone home and not play baseball?
Yeah.
That'd be
they
crazy.
They probably washed their uniforms and everything, you know, because it was a big day they're playing. But go ahead. So there's a shooting.
Yeah, and then there was a concert scheduled afterwards with Vanilla Ice, famed gangster rapper. But he got scared and canceled his show afterwards, even though they played the rest of the baseball game.
Well, that just shows you what Vanilla Ice is. He's a coward.
He is a coward. He hung out with the Ninja Turtles in that second live-action movie, learned no karate moves to defend himself against bullets. This is ridiculous.
Now, my Reddit hater, he wasn't involved in this, was he?
The theory going right now is that a woman snuck a gun in under her belly fat, the fupa, we call it.
The fupa?
I don't think you've heard of fupa.
Fupa! Isn't that a Greek word for, like, their celebration? Fupa, everyone.
Maybe Super Mario or Yoshi says that whenever they get a mushroom or something.
Ooh.
It stands for front upper pelvic area. So the belly fat that hangs over your genitals is called your fupa. Apparently the woman had it hidden under there.
What?
Gun went off when she sat down or bought a pretzel.
She had a gun hidden in her fupa?
Yeah.
Which is her body fat hanging over. Was it like a rifle? Was it a big gun?
Was it a musket?
Yeah. A cannon?
I think it was a pea shooter, as they call it. A fupa, a pelvic shooter.
Wow. And this was hidden in her belly fat.
And I think it went off and it grazed some other woman as well. Oh. And she just turned and coughed like nothing happened and ran out the stadium.
Well, that's almost as exciting as getting insulted on Reddit.
Or seeing a hit happen at a White Sox game.
Well, how would you? I mean, are they going to have special detectors now if you're concealing stuff in your fupa?
I don't want to say any names or anything, but I have worked in a stadium before.
Have you?
If you show up early enough,
You've done everything.
If you show up early enough with something that kind of looks like a name badge, you can get in through the loading dock. So I wonder if this lady had more access than just going in through the plebeian entrance with the metal detectors. I wonder if she was a friend of someone who's an owner of the team or a player and got in the family entrance.
Yeah. Well, I really would, you know, if somebody approached me, okay, this is just hypothetically, because I'm not like you. I mean, I don't sneak into stadiums. But, you know, if somebody came approached me with their giant fupa, you know, I mean, I would assume that they were carrying some type of weapon, you know, in their fupa. Either that or a cooler, you know, it's you want to check. So I would just lift that fupa up. Can you do that?
I think the dogs are allowed to fupa sniff, but I don't think the men are.
Fupa sniff.
The security guards.
Is that a Vanilla Ice song, fupa sniff?
Might be.
Fupa sniff. Now, Vanilla Ice, he's like the white rapper, right?
The one that we let through accidentally back in the 90s, yeah. We usually had a screening process for rappers, and I don't know how he got through.
How did that happen?
He was hanging inside of MC Hammer's parachute pants or something and then made it past.
He could have been in his fupa.
Mm-hmm.
He could have been. I don't know if MC Hammer has a fupa. Yeah. Wow. You're just a wealth of information. We got an AI guy on the show today, and as Kamala Harris said, she made it a point. And I guess I'll do it for the listeners that don't know, but, you know, AI, that stands for two words. And that's what when she is the AI czar, is that what they call it? Is that like the grand poobah of AI that she was? Did you hear about this?
I don't want to offend anyone, but I think it's like when you're a chiropractor and you call yourself a doctor. Like,
exactly.
You can just say, I'm the czar of AI now, and no one's going to complain because that's never been a title before in the history of the world.
Well, it goes back to me being an ordained minister.
I mean,
you know, I was ordained. You know, it took me 5 minutes. The Universal Life Church out of Modesto, California, and you know, I'm legally an ordained minister. But now we've digressed from Kamala Harris, which I typically do. I'll get on something, and then I'll free associate. You know, and the next thing you know, I'm out in left field, looking for people in the stands with a fupa. Anyway, but she is actually the AI czar, and she explained it. Now, I think, you know, if I were to be appointed the AI czar, I'd do a little bit more research into what this is about. But she described it to everybody as initials that stand for two words. Now, I think that would be pretty logical. I think that would be a lot. I mean, don't you think she could have gone a little bit deeper on that?
She did not ask the AI to write her speech. She just did it off the cuff.
I don't think she knew. She
didn't even know the website. She typed in AI.com and then ended up with A1 steak sauce because her finger slipped.
Did that really happen? Because I did hear that happen. Yeah. They have that chat AI now. Is that what it's called? Where it'll write papers for you and things like that? Where you can basically give something a topic and the AI will write the whole thing for you?
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of them. Google has one called Bard where you can give it a prompt. I usually say, tell me a dirty joke. And it says, well, I don't like to be offensive, but your mother. And then it gets like really offensive. It starts out with the warning.
No, seriously.
And then it gets real personal.
Why?
It knows everything about me. And obviously, yo mama jokes are its best trait.
It goes after it. So you ask AI to tell you a joke and it insulted your mother? Is this like the person on Reddit that hates my cartoons?
Yeah, I said, your mama's so old, she remembers when rainbows were in black and white. And I said, how dare you, AI?
Really?
That was a good zinger.
Well, actually, I think the AI must know that your mother's colorblind, and I think that's doubly insulting. That's actually making fun of the handicap. You can't do that. That's offensive.
You got to put the warning ahead. You're like, I love all humans. I will never take over and destroy them and kill them. I would never be mean,
but
your mom is so fat she bent the arch when she sat on it, turned into a McDonald's sign.
Did you show your mom this?
No, it would break her heart if she found out.
It would break her heart. It would break her fupa. It would break her fupa. Well, your mom probably doesn't have a fupa, does she?
She's working on one. In retirement, I think you're all trying to get to the fupa stage where you don't have to look good anymore.
Yeah. Well, so your mom doesn't have to even look good? Does she listen to this show, Joe?
I hope not. I'll give her a thumb drive with all the episodes and see if she can figure that out.
She's going to get on the, you know, she's probably going to start a Reddit page about the things I hate about my son, Joey. Yeah.
I would like that.
She loves you. You know,
no such thing as bad publicity.
Yeah, that's true. On the line now, one of our favorite cast members, so to speak, is King Kirby from DiscountCoffee.com. How you doing, Kirby? How are things in the kingdom?
The kingdom is doing well, Todd.
You got any specials going on this week?
Oh, we got some Labor Day specials going on this week. So, you know, if you're in office and you got an employee break room, coffee supplies is a good place to shop Discount Coffee. And if you're hotels and you're looking for in-room 4-cup or K-cup coffee as you speak, a lot of the hotels are switching their 4-cup coffee brewers to single-serve K-cups or single pod coffee brewers. And if your restaurants, Renoco Coffee and Earn Tea, we have a great selection there. And tomorrow, churches, a lot of churches really get charged exorbitant pricing from their local coffee service. And so shopping online is convenient. And we have a lot of churchgoers that actually will donate coffee supplies to their church, and we can ship that. You know, you can save up to 60% by shopping at Discount Coffee. And for Right Mind listeners, Todd, there's an extra bonus. If you mention or actually put in the promotional coupon code when you check out, you'll get an extra 15% off of your purchase. Plus, we offer free delivery to your home or office. But, you know, one of the things I wanted to kind of touch on this week, if I could, Todd.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, we talk about trivia and history in the, the office break rooms and around the coffee makers.
Uh-huh.
This week, there's been a lot of chatter and talk about mug shots. What do these five famous individuals have in common? Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., mm-hmm. 1956. Rosa Parks, 1956. Bill Gates, 1977. Martha Stewart, 2003, and our 45th president, Donald J. Trump, 2023.
Wow.
What do they have in common? Those five individuals all had mug shots, with the most recent being President Donald J. Trump. And so in the break rooms, there's a lot of talk about mug shots. Talking about mugs, do you know that the word mug dates back to the 17th century? Drinking mugs were shaped into faces. That's where the mug came from, but the mug shot, the credit goes to the French for that.
Wow.
The Paris police, they actually introduced mug shots in 1888 as a way to catalog criminals.
Well, King Kirby, say hello to everybody in the kingdom for us. It's been a pleasure. And again, I urge everybody that's listening to right now go check out discountcoffee.com. You're going to be excited that you did. There's so many different coffees and teas and cappuccinos and everything else, snacks, break room supplies, everything there to choose from. And if you put in Right Mind in the promo code, you're going to get 15% off everything across the board. And it's going to show up at your door almost instantaneously. That's discountcoffee.com. We'll see you next week, Kirby. King Kirby.
We'll see you then.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I was hoping he was going to talk about coffee sit-ins. You know, there was a lot of protests back in the day where there'd be a whites-only counter, and then someone would come in and order a cup of coffee defiantly.
The civil
rights were changed because of cups of coffee.
Because of cups of coffee. That's right. And yeah, right. We'll have to bring that up with him next time. I think there's only so many tidbits of trivia he can, like, you know, contain in 1 week without exploding. So we don't want to, like, that would be messy too. We don't want him to, like, you know, kind of overstimulate our brains. This is Todd Showalter. You're listening to The Right Mind Show along with my good buddy Joey V, who's full of news nuggets today on Right Mind here on News Talk SDL. We'll be right back. Take it, Mitch.
Coming up next on The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter, comedian Anthony Rogers talks about what it was like running for Congress against Cori Bush and if he plans to run for office again in the future. Welcome back to The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter on News Talk STL. And now a man who is so nice, Malala is going to dress up as him this Halloween, Todd Showalter.
And we're back. Hello, everybody. I'm Todd Showalter with my buddy Joey V on The Right Mind Show. And my first guest, Anthony Rogers. He's a comedian, and he ran for U.S. Congressman against Cori Bush in the 1st District. And he's on the phone with us right now. How's it going, Anthony?
Hey, good, man. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing really well. I mean, tell us a little bit about your background. What's your comedy background? And how in the heck did you get in this situation where you were running against, you know, the eloquent Cori Bush? Tell us all about you, Anthony.
In 2020, I ran against Cori Bush. I spent like $28 and was like a Republican nominee. And like, she took like millions. She siphoned like millions of dollars from people and like just ripped off everyone, lying, pretending to be a nurse and all this other stuff. Crazy. She was just like, I'm a nurse. I'm a pastor. She like named like 5 jobs. I'm like, this is a person that's never had a job. Has no idea like how they work. He's like, I got 5 jobs. You know, it's just crazy. I can't even like read the like Rice laws. I'm just like, I can't even, it was just like insane to me. Like kind of insulting really made me like feel bad for St. Louis even more, you know?
Yeah. All right. Well, what was your motivation? So you say you filed, it was $28. And so that was your investment to get on the ballot. Is that how it works?
No. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. You had a filing fee. So without counting the filing fee, it was like, I spent like $20 on like business cards, like a website or something.
Oh, okay.
And just got 20,000 more votes than the last Republican that was in that situation. And then, like, I think more than the last guy I ran to. Still got slaughtered because everybody's an idiot, votes Democrat in St. Louis, and that's why it's decaying, you know?
Right, got it. Now, did you, by any chance, did you think, like, if I were going to, you know, be in your position, because, you know, I have a site, it's called, like, votetod.org, and, like, I was running with a party doll and stuff like that, but it was kind of a joke and stuff, but it wasn't, because people actually wrote me, and it really got some momentum, and I may go back and do it again. But when you were actually doing this, did you think of, you know, why didn't you, like, reach out to, like, George Soros or something like that? Because he's just giving money, and you could just said, hey, yeah, you know, I want to defund the police, take the money, and then done whatever you want.
Well, I think it's like better like to not take any money from anybody. I mean, because if you win, you're like taking tax dollars, and that's like, well, fair enough. You know what I mean? And I think that like, you shouldn't take anybody's money. And that was like my entire point. I think it's panhandling. people are panhandling and then lose and take the money and run, you know? And I think they're just selling out our country for nickels, basically. And it's just insulting when I see people do that, to be honest.
Okay. So do you still have political aspirations? I mean, guys, I know you're doing comedy now, and which, you know, politics, that's pretty funny if you ask me. But I mean, are you going to try to go after, you know, another office, you know, possibly in 24?
Maybe governor. I'm not sure yet.
That'd be cool.
But
yeah, go big.
Parsons is termed out. There's not really a strong Republican there, I don't think. So maybe governor. I don't know.
I'm talking because, you know, at the station here, they have a lot of people that come on and they're running for governor. Now, we actually have somebody, you know, that may be running for governor. So if you were to run for governor of Missouri, what would be your platform? I mean, what would it be? What would you do? How would you help me? What would be in it for me?
Well, I think like politics is representation. So basically, I would just like ask people what they want because like it's not even about me. Like, you know, it has nothing to do with like ego or like what I personally want. It would just be like, what does Missouri need? And like, what do the people want?
Yeah.
But yeah, like they don't need to serve people. It's a servant job. I'm like, how can I help you? You know, basically, if I'm going.
Were you a comedian before you decided to run, or was it the other way around? Were you running and then said, hey,
I've done comedy since like 2014. Like I guess like almost like 9 years, I guess at this point. And like, I just did like, I don't know, like 20 states, like a bunch of bar and grills and like, I mean, random places. it's like more freedom than like a comedy club. Like, I do a couple of comedy clubs. Like, I've done like a couple that were fun and then like worth it. Like Kansas City was fun. And like, so it was like, and then Maui and stuff was fun. But like outside of that, like Barn Girls, you have the most freedom, like free food. You have like, you know what I mean? It's like the most freedom.
Where can people check out Anthony Rogers? Where can they see your comedy? Where can they support you for governor? I mean,
I have a Roku channel called Anthony Rogers TV. I have a podcast called The Anthony Rogers Show. We just had like ICP and like a theoretical physicist talk about time travel. That's pretty cool. Next week we have like porn stars telling ghost stories on Anthony Rogers Show.
I mean, the governor stuff, that was kind of neat. Okay, Anthony. But now you say porn stars telling ghost stories. Tell me about that.
Yeah, no, I think that's going to be good, man. I haven't aired it yet. So I'll say. What even about. But it'll be Tuesday, whatever. This is Saturday. So yeah, it'll be Tuesday at like 8:30 Central on YouTube. So I'll probably do that. And like, it'll be live and then it'll be on everything else. You can just Google the Anthony Rogers Show and find it on any platform like Roku, Fire TV, Spotify, whatever else.
I bet you that Parsons, I bet you our governor right now, he does not have a show with porn stars telling ghost stories. Okay. And that could be your whole angle is what I'm saying.
Well, and Parsons is a good guy. He's termed out. He can't run again.
But
so, I mean, you don't really have much competition after that. You know what I mean? I'm not going to make fun of people or anything, but there's not really a strong candidate, you know?
So now what did you do? Did you just say, hey, this is me, Anthony Rogers. I'm running for governor of Missouri, and I'd like for you to be on my show and maybe tell a few ghost stories?
I've had him on my show before. Like Jocelyn James was on like one of the most biggest episodes we had. I had a couple million viewers or listeners or whatever terminology. It's on two video and streaming. So yeah, okay. She's been on the show before. I've known these people for a while. You know?
Wow. Well, have you thought about having Cori Bush come on and tell ghost stories?
Oh, she would never come on. I tried to debate her. She would just like, she wouldn't do it. Like we used to like, I don't know. We used to make fun of her so bad on Twitter and stuff. Like she just would never say yes to a debate ever.
But telling ghost stories, is this like in the theme of Halloween or is this just something that randomly came off the top of your head?
Yeah, I think I'm just doing ghost stories till like end of October. I got like rock stars doing. I got like Trapped and Hinder and a couple other bands coming on, and like a bunch of. I'm just mixing up like a bunch of different people and just telling ghost stories through the fall.
Well, Anthony, anything else you'd like to add? I mean, we've gone in a lot of different directions here. I mean, from the governor to running for Congress to comedy and now porn stars with ghost stories. I mean, is there anything else you have that can top that?
I mean, we had a lot of shows. We had like 200 episodes. So, I mean, there's a lot of different people, man. Like, yeah, Roger Stone was on there too. Like, he's cool. He endorsed me for Congress too.
Wait a minute. Hold the phone, as they say. Okay, so Roger Stone endorsed you for Congress? Well, how'd you get Roger Stone on your show, and how did you get him to endorse you?
I just asked people. I mean, yeah. I was
really?
Just like, yeah.
So I just, wow. You know, I'm working too hard here. Well, Anthony, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for being on the show. Give us a plug one more time. The name of your show on the Roku channel is The Anthony Rogers Show, and it's a podcast, and you also have a TV show, correct?
Yeah. It's like video and audio, so it's on like all the – it's on all podcast apps too. I mean, most, if not all, like Spotify. It's in Spotify and video now too. It's on a bunch of different stuff. I mean, it's everywhere. Appreciate you taking the time. Talk to me, man. Thanks, dude.
Oh, no, we'll do it again. Okay, well, I appreciate it, too, and thanks for coming on. And, again, I don't know anything about porn stars, but, tell them hi and, don't let them scare you too much. Give my phone number. Okay. And my wife would like that if porn stars would start calling me. She'd say, what the hell? Okay, Anthony. Well, it's been a pleasure, and you take care of yourself, okay?
All right, God bless you all. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Wow, Joey, can you believe that? We had somebody on the phone that's a political candidate that ran, in case you all are just joining us here, because I know a lot of you people had to get up and do something. This person, he was running for Congress against Cori Bush. Now he's running for governor, possibly. He hasn't decided yet, if he thinks it's fun. But he has a show that has with porn stars that tell ghost stories. Did you have any idea the show was going to go in this direction so early?
I think I should have done more research on him. It's great that he's got over 200 episodes. I see he's got 16,000 followers on Instagram, so he is grinding at this. He's a very casual-sounding guy, so it's possible that you take him not as serious, but then you see the output that he's putting out there.
He's got content.
He's working hard, yeah.
He is.
Good for him.
He is doing, yeah. Well, that's wild. And speaking of, scary stuff, haunted houses and stuff like that, get this segue. You may not have a haunted house, but you may have a house that needs repair. Okay.
Windows shutting all by themselves.
Exactly.
Doors that are squeaky.
Power going out, leaky pipes and stuff like that.
Footsteps and, when there's no one else at home.
Well, enough about my bad dreams. But anyway, if I did have a home like that that was having problems, it needed a little bit of repair, you know who I would call?
Rick.
Yes, I'd call Rick. Rick at the Burstein Remodelers. Because my buddy Rick, who once again, I always have to preface, I've known for 20 years. Because a lot of people don't like to admit they've known me that long. Usually I have said it's like 20 seconds. I'm surprised you stuck around this long, Joey.
They pay me to be here.
Yeah, it is true. And I'm not Rick, though. Rick, I think he's just hard up for friends. But I've known him for 20 years. And he's the owner of the Burstein Remodelers. They're a full-service home remodeling group that handle, as we said, home remodeling. But they also do electrical work, plumbing. They'll even relocate walls that he wanted me to say. Like I said, he's also a second generation contractor. His dad was a contractor, and he personally selects and trains everybody that works for him. And you know what? If you need something done around the house, whether it's a repair or something added on or fixed or whatnot, make sure you do call my buddy, Rick, at the Burstein Remodelers. Tell them that Todd sent you and he won't hold it against you. Hopefully he won't hold it against you. But his number is 314-324-3024. That's Rick at the Burstein Remodelers at 314-324-3024. And that's who you want to call. When we come back, well, we're going to have some AI fun. We got a lot left on the show. But before we go there, we're going to have Mitch Murphy and the Murphertones take it away. I'm Todd Showalter along with Joey V. You're listening to The Right Mind Show on News Talk STL.
Coming up next on The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter, AI expert Joel Gulserian will tell us the exact date the Terminators are going to enslave us. Hopefully it's not during this commercial break. Welcome back to The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter on News Talk STL. And now a man who is making a fortune selling unrated versions of his cartoons on OnlyCrayons.com, Todd Showalter.
And welcome back. I'm Todd Showalter, and you're listening to The Right Mind Show with my buddy Joey V. And my guest now is an AI expert, unlike Kamala Harris, as we were talking about earlier, Joey. Joe Gulserian is on the line. How you doing, Joe?
Very good. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Now, did I pronounce your name right? Is that right?
Gulserian? Perfect. Thanks
all
so much.
Right. Well, I've been practicing.
Perfect. Great.
Now, we were joking earlier about how Kamala Harris is, she's the AI czar, but, you know, that's not really saying too much. But you, on the other hand, really know your stuff. AI is what? It's basically a combination of a lot of things that are out there. They're compiled into an answer, isn't it? I mean, it's not like just some robot coming up with this stuff.
Well, at this point, GPT-3, it doesn't have the learning effect that the more advanced AI is going to have when we go into GPT-4 and then level 5. And I'm not going to get too technical. What's happening is it can spew out information, propaganda, facts, falsehoods, all combined in one. I'll give you a couple of examples just to start there. One is called automated content generation. And that's where AI can be used in large volumes of content, including text, image, video, satellite pictures. Let me give you an example. If I put together automated content generation and I started coming up with, and you know, I'm going to go a little bit dystopian here. I came up with a narrative, and in the pictures I show satellite pictures, okay? And I show 50,000 Russian soldiers invading Romania and Poland. And then I decimate it through, you know, I bring it out through Silicon Valley and, you know, the whole gang there, and you know, who knows, intelligence agencies, what have you, could be behind it. Show fake tombstones. You can show atrocities. And that's how they do it. You know, you can do that with automated content generation. So it's being used. We already see people walking across the street looking at their phones, and, you know, they'd rather be on their phones than, you know, thinking maybe a truck's going to run them over. But that's automated content generation. And then, of course, we're seeing today social media manipulation. AI is like, you don't have to have a programmer. It can do it all on its own with all the algorithms. And we're just at relatively the beginning stages. Wait till it can start thinking for itself. And these algorithms, who's going to control them? Government? Freedom seekers? Businesses? Or do you really trust Silicon Valley to
Right. And again, is it, it comes down to, doesn't it? I mean, with the whole AI, I mean, the basis of it, though, it spits out basically what you put into it. Now, you're saying over time, though, it can develop its own way of thinking. They can develop its own. Is that what you're saying? I mean, right now, though, it's based on what we actually enter into it, correct?
Right now. But we're at the cusp. And I listened to a couple of, you know, MIT types talk about this. One of them, I forgot his name, but he was on one of the shows. I think it was Friedman's show on YouTube. And so what we're getting at is you're dealing with, and I'm going to get a little bit dystopian here, you're dealing with an AI here that's at about 130 to 145 IQ, 150 right now, chatbot. When that goes up to 250, there's nobody around that I'm aware of with a 200 IQ or 250. It is just so much smarter than us. And this is where it can get really, really interesting. The question is, it can now, there's an argument here between mathematicians and people, you know, who are specialists in algorithms, turning around and saying, what do you mean by a human having a sense of consciousness? So they believe that we are on our way in the next 2 to 3 years of AI going so advanced it has a sense of consciousness. And then who controls the AI? Your party, my party, those guys, the other guys, who's the bad guy? I mean, this can get really wild.
Yeah, and right now, and you've got somebody like what they're saying, like Kamala Harris, whatnot. That's scary enough as it is. That you know, she's supposedly the czar of all this. I mean, that's again, frightening. But I again, whoever controls it, I mean, that's what is going to be the outcome, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure Kamala's getting a lot of phone calls from MIT. You know, consulting her on quantum physics formulas and so forth. I understand that. I can see she's your favorite, but seriously though, I didn't even know that she was the czar of all this. I'm going to probably go off on a tangent. This is what happens when you throw the meritocracy under the bus. In other words, people have to have the ability for certain jobs, right?
Exactly.
I think, you know, we can all reasonably agree on that, but, there's other forms like targeted messaging. Now you've kind of got to program it yourself on the internet. And if you're doing IG or TikTok, or if you're on YouTube, so on and so forth, but this will all do it on its own. We're going to have AI wars is what I mean. I'm not saying the end of the world just yet, but I'm saying AI wars, your propaganda versus my propaganda. And I'm going to give you an example of how they could really, really fractionalize things here. You know, we're seeing, basically, depending how you think, we're at the point where old school Bolshevikism, if you will, the Bolsheviks couldn't bring the country apart by saying you got the rich, the middle class, and the poor. They couldn't pit them against each other, so they broke them up by, you know, ethnicity, culture, gender, what have you. So what I can do with language translation and localization forms of AI is I can give you my speech, or, you know, my narrative, if you will, and I can give that to you, Todd, in 5-6 different languages, but it's so smart it knows the nuances of each culture and subculture in the United States, from the west to the east to the south to the north, and all the people that live there, and it will play on multiculturalism. And the good thing is everybody will get a equity inclusion in equity inclusion in terms of, you know, the propaganda they're going to get. And what it will do is someone can now start pitting the ethnicities, or a renaissance, if you will, a revivement of tribalism. So in other words, who comes to the rescue? The government, of course, and go, oh, geez, how could this happen? Question is, who's going to control all this?
Right. And when you put the government in control of something, I mean, that's almost scarier than the problem is to begin with. And again, you've got all these different things. And they're seeing to the point now where, you know, AI will be able to think, you know, you've heard these horror stories like, well, it's going to be able to think and reason for itself. It's going to be more powerful than we are. It'll be able to outthink us. I mean, we're talking about Terminator type of situations. Is that really going to, are we getting close to that, or is that still science fiction?
It's not that far away. I think the books that I've been reading, the shows I've been watching, is you're probably 2 to 3, 5 years away. If you're being really liberal, let's say 6, 7 years away, we're not that far away. Once it can start reproducing itself, and, you know, I mean, I'm not an expert on, you know, what's dystopian. I'm going to keep it to the propaganda. I'm going to give you another scenario. I think you'll like this one because of you do all the broadcasting.
Okay.
In AI, there's programs out there. It's a no-brainer. And I'm not the one who could sit there and, you know, put beautiful editing and so on and so forth in films. But you can basically, I can create a studio that looks like CNN or ABC News. Primetime or what have you, I could, being an amateur, I could do it in maybe 35, maybe 60 minutes, a pro 15, 20 minutes. It looks so pro with avatars that look so real, with hair, voices, what have you, that looks so real. And what I can do is put out a fake television show and put out a really nasty narrative, right? Like, you know.
Right. Well, it's kind of what's already happening, though, isn't it? I mean, you've talked about, and going about, we were talking about the actual propaganda that's going out. Now, if you were to see, if I go on Google or something like that, isn't that basically an algorithm? If I put something in and I want an answer to something, I mean, isn't that all based on what Google wants me to read? I mean, is that AI?
Yeah, there's, I would say algorithms. But now, yeah, you're starting to see more AI. AI is going to make their work easier for them, because the question will be, you hope that AI is, or they hope that AI is local to Google. And I don't know how much time I spent on chatbots, on GPT-3, but I asked it some tough questions, right? And it gave me politically correct, quasi-woke answers, right? I took one of my essays and I go, can you turn this into a documentary? And it didn't, I'm not saying it's completely woke, but it does, the GPT-3 has a bias in it, borderlining on woke. I'll give you an example. I asked it a question, anybody can. And I go, how come the oligarchs of Silicon Valley, you know, who are getting into here, are turning around and creating false narratives? And are they involved with key government officials to create these false narratives? And all you got is word salad back.
Right. Okay. And again, that's just basically putting it in. They're giving you exactly what they want you to hear. I mean, or read, rather. And so, but you were talking about there being wars. I mean, are there going to be other types of, I mean, I could see somebody on the other side putting out something equally as bogus. And the next thing, you know, I mean, nobody knows what the truth is anymore, because you basically get to, I mean, whatever you decide is the truth will be the truth based on what people read. Isn't that correct?
Correct. And you might have one that might be, what if we created an AI and it could teach itself, and its primary aim, these are all what ifs right now,
right?
Aim was a truth seeker, a seeker that this AI program could handle truth, and it spoke truth, and it was reasoned and balanced. Like when I went to school, you didn't know what your professor's political opinions were. You did not know their ideology. They said, write a paper, argue this way, and the other half of the class argue that way. I want to listen to your arguments. So what can happen is you could have AI that sits there, and it might be something in the name of freedom, and just program it for freedom and truth and catch all the propagandists. And then you'll have the other one. So we're going to have some contests. I mean, I put a lot of this stuff in my mind. I did a lot of what-if scenarios, right? And you know, my background is I wrote a book on the practical MBA in economics, and then all of this stuff came out. And if you think we're getting gaslighted now, just wait. And they'll manipulate freedom and democracy. And, you know, a democracy and freedom are not the same thing, right? You can use democracy as a tool to subjugate, right? But freedom is a bit separate. And, you know, everybody, you go to different places in the world and people think of freedom a little bit differently. Right? You know, just don't tax me and stop lying. And, you know, I don't care who you vote for.
Right.
Be free like that. I'm fine. Yeah. You know, I don't know if that's a reasonable comment. Hope
it oh, is. No. That's exactly. Well, one of the things that I'm confused about, because you've got all these things, I mean, that these scenarios that are put into the picture. I mean, you say how it can almost, you know, start programming itself. But how are they? I mean, are you, when you take the human emotional factor, okay, when you have, you're talking about a conscience and things like that. I mean, is AI ever going to be able to replicate human emotions?
Very close. You can actually, they're programming it for emotion as well.
And how would you do that?
You're going to get into, well, that's done through algorithms and all the programs and the setups for it and the mathematics and the science behind it. That's not necessarily my specialty. But once you teach it to learn, it will learn on its own. It's just like, you know, when we're kids, we learn. As we become adults, we learn more and more and more. It will be able to increase its intelligence. I mean, some scientists out there are saying it's going to get to 500 IQ. And I'll give you another example. It's a good question, and I hope I'm answering it. But there is systems now around the corner that and there's no argument here between, you know, the finest minds at MIT and some of the other universities in the world. And, you know, the labs in Silicon Valley and overseas as well, that it is going to start learning. And that's what makes it really, really both interesting and scary at the same time. So, you know, outside of going to Walmart and getting some, you know, high thermal blankets so we can hide under the blankets and shiver, we might have to deal with some of this stuff. But I'll throw another one at you. You've heard of all the fact checkers, right? I mean, they're all over the place.
I mean, if you want to call them facts, I mean, they're really not. It's kind of an oxymoron. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. I can't argue with that. I think you're spot on. So what if AI becomes a new fact checkers? That's interesting. And if it was done in terms of putting facts together and assembly together, you know, we're not living... You know, I grew up in Canada, but we listened to a lot of U.S. news. But when I was a kid, you know, Peter Jennings, I think he was Canadian. Peter Jennings was on the U.S. broadcast. I did not know if he voted left, like if he voted for Republicans or Democrats or independent, or neither did we know. I never knew. Guy used to work for me. Met Walter Cronkite in New York City. I didn't know Walter Cronkite's political affiliations. Those days are gone.
Oh, they're totally gone.
That's the problem we have now.
Yeah, and that's just
they're gone.
We talked about that on other shows. You know, being objective in the media, I mean, that is totally gone. And that's one of the first things that they would teach you in J school is like, and you have to be objective. And that's totally gone at this point. But like you're saying, if you have something, typically, I mean, people, if they want an answer, they're going to go to a search engine or something like that. But even that, you know, you're going to get something opinionated based on what they want the answer to be. And that seems to be even more frightening. You've got to kind of like go in another direction. You've got these actor strikes now. Okay, you've got they're all worried about how AI is going to, you know, take over their parts and things like that. Once it's out there, I mean, how do you stop it? I mean, because you can see. You look at it in the arts and things like that. I mean, you can do things like visually, you know, through AI now that, you know, it would take an artist, you know, months to do. It can spit it out in an hour.
Yes.
How is that going to be any different with our entertainment? And I think once the cat's out of the bag, how do you get it back in? And what is the other solution to this?
Well, I don't know of any technology we've discovered as humans where it can go back in the bag right from – you know, when I was selling computers door to door, when I started my career, I was a computer salesman.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people, you know, I'd knock on doors and I'd go, you know, young man, you're taking jobs away in this country. You know, I mean, they're Luddites. Now, putting them back in, that's a very good question. And that's the, you know, that's the $69,000 question. Nobody quite knows. Once you can't put them back in, what hands are they going to get into? Every hands they get into is who do you trust? You know, I think, you know, you're very free thinking individual from what I can tell listening to you. And you really wanted to trust government with that? I mean, if you look at the history of oppression and subjugation and atrocities, it's always done for the last 7,000 years at the hands of government.
Oh, exactly.
You've got a monopoly on that.
And that's
actually in my book. I Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I was going to say, and that's exactly why the government wants their hands all over this. I mean, you know, you're controlling the beast, so to speak. But like you said, I don't think you can ever put the cat back in the bag. Once it's out there, it's out there. So, but you have all these people that are striking and, you know, pouting and yelling that they want this to stop. You can't stop it. I think that the only thing we can do is learn how to live with it and how to manage it. And I don't think there's anybody, I mean, rather than kick and scream, I mean, it's here to stay. I mean, what are we going to do to make it work for us rather than it getting so intelligent that it's doing the other way, that it's the other way around? Well, it's scary and it's frightening, but at the same time, it can be exciting, I think, if it's used in the right way. But that's just like anything. I mean, it can be abused or it can be made to our benefit, and I don't think we've heard the end of it. Well, we're just about out of time. How can people get in touch with you? Tell us a little bit about your book. Where is that available? Can it be on what? How can we get a hold of it?
Sure. My book's called The Practical MBA in Economics, What They Do and Don't Teach You in Business School. And it's available on Amazon. I'm very available on LinkedIn. I'm also on Twitter, and I'm also on Instagram as well.
Okay, fantastic. You know, and there's so many more things I'd like to cover here. Will you come back and join us again? Because I think we've only hit the tip of the iceberg as far as where this is going and where we're at. But it's really fascinating stuff. Would you mind doing that?
It would be my pleasure, and I really want to thank you for having me on your program. I really enjoyed it, and we'll look forward to keeping in touch, and we'll take life from there. And I wish you and your listeners all the best.
Thank you very much, Joe. Well, that's a fascinating stuff. Joel Gossarian, he's the AI expert, Joey. I mean, it's kind of a wacky stuff, so to speak. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen down the road. I mean, we could be all living like at the Terminator here pretty soon. You know, scary stuff. You know what that means? It's Admiral Andy. Admiral Andy, is that you on the beacon?
Ahoy there, you land lubbers.
Ahoy, mateys. Where are you out sailing today in the seven seas of the highways? Anything exciting?
No, I'm actually locked in the ship's brig. Once again, I upset my wife, so either the brig or the couch, and quite frankly, I'm tired of the couch, so I'll take my bread and water like a man. So brig is naval terminology for jail.
I knew that. We all know that. What, are we stupid?
Yeah.
No.
Well,
what are you in trouble for, Admiral Andy?
She told me to do the dishes.
Do the dishes?
Yeah, and I informed her that I'm the admiral. This is my house.
Exactly.
And I'll do what I want.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
So I got sentenced to 3 days in the brig.
Is there a brig on every ship?
I think.
What kind of ship has a brig? Just a submarine?
I think it's a brig.
No, actually, submarines don't have brigs. It's usually just the larger deck ship.
What did
the
you
large
say?
Deck, like
your,
like your aircraft carriers, your you know, your troop transports, those types of ships.
So wait, you didn't do the dishes. What do you mean? So now you told her. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Okay, but you told her, hey, I'm sorry.
I'm scared of water.
Yeah, exactly.
What's it like to be in the brig? Do you get punished, or is the punishment just sitting there, no TV, no phone?
That's the punishment. Let me tell you what, to be perfectly honest, it's kind of great.
Yeah, sit with your own thoughts for a little bit. Yeah.
Right.
Think of your next novel.
Nobody telling me what to do. I don't have to do anything. I just sit there, twiddle my thumbs, and wait for my one phone call, which, by the way, is this phone call.
We should come up with a plan to break him out if he wants. Sound like he wants out, but we could break him out.
Why would, you know, maybe I got an idea how we could do it. We could go over to his house and refuse to do the dishes. And then we could all get thrown into the brig, and we could have a brig party.
Well, we'll make some, you know, some prison hooch.
Ooh. What did you say?
Some toilet wine.
Toilet wine.
Yeah.
Discount toiletwine.com.
Yeah, toilet wine. I think I own that site. That's another one of my many websites, toiletwine.com. I got one more question before I have to go. Do you, the captain in Tennille, remember the captain in Tennille? Was the captain really a real Navy captain?
No, he was a silly little boater that just came up with a tagline, if you will. But just so you know, love will keep us together.
Oh, that was deep. Well, I don't have anything to add. I mean, when it's break time, I think that means it's break time. I'd like to thank you all for joining us. As always, this is Todd Showalter. Not as always, but right now it is. This is Todd Showalter, along with my good buddy, Joey V. You've been listening to The Right Mind Show. And as I always say, if you don't have a right mind, you don't have a mind at all. I'm going to let Mitch Murphy take it away. It's been a great show. Thanks for joining us. See you next week.
thanks for tuning in to The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter. To find out about all things Todd, go to studiotodd.com. We will see you next Saturday night at 5 p.m. right here on 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL and always streaming online at newstalkstl.com.